Blog Talk Radio.
All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Elohim, Father, Esau, and Yaakov. May this conversation, observation, find peace and allow me to critically think and move forward. Because see, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And it's us having to understand our free will. Now, I've said this before, but our will is the gift. It allows us to be able to make our own decisions and deal with our own consequences. During the Piscean Age, we needed to be taught, and that was because, you know, Yahusha, Yahushua, the Master, the Messiah, so-called Jesus of Nazareth, he came in what we can actually attest to is the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And all through that time, a time where we had lost our way as humanity. We had lost our way. And because we had lost our way collectively and individually, nationally, I mean all nations, they all the nations lost their way. The Gentile nations, for sure, and Israel, absolutely. And during this time, you know, we had to have suffrage. We suffered. We were in pain. We were in sorrow. The will was oppressed. The gift given to our nation by our father, the Most High, was taken away to us to free will. And it was oppressed by the foolish nation. And at the end of the day, what we have to learn from this is that everything is a season. There's always nothing new under the sun. So we're now out of the Piscean Age where, you know, a man will, or a woman will tell you based on the oppression of your will, tell you that which, you know, is what they know, and they know because we're told by God. So therefore, you need to be led because your will was taken away. But as we, you know, that's all appropriately stated, and this is my take on this, the book of knowledge of good and evil, you construe that as 6 books, you know, even 80 to some degree, depending on which version you read. And during my scenic, the Most High man, humanity, those that walked in his will still, he didn't leave, you know. I mean, he never left us. He transformed. And then his transformation, and it had to be coded to make our trouble so that this time something new could come, like a cocoon, like a caterpillar, a moth in the cocoon. So through that whole time period, since the destruction and murder of Yahusha, since that time period, the children in and out of trouble from all nations. even themselves. And at that time period, the age we had led to manifestation, we would not be moved. And now today, you still have people who are proclaiming that they have it because they have told, by, from what they say, Yahuwah or God or the Elohim, and they've been told that they know the way up. But au contraire, because during next age of Aquarius, with knowledge increasing, then we get, and the fact that we are given, taken, our curses are taken off, blessings are bestowed, but the only way one could have blessings is to have free will. True blessings, true understanding, true wisdom. That's between you and the Father, the Most High, Yahuwah, our Abba, between you and the Most High. When you allow someone else to get in between that relationship between you and the Most High, that's your business, and the Most High business, that's between you two. When you allow others to come in between that relationship, now you have a Piscean-aged relationship. Okay. Fair enough. A person was spoke to the Father. Now, that person was spoken to by the Father does not necessarily mean that what they were told, what they were spoken to, has to be, see, the you know, God told me this, and then I'm telling you that, see, that's pride. That's pride. Because if God didn't tell you and everyone the same thing, then why should I believe, well, okay, what is your signify? Because if one is oppressing someone else by way of it is my way or the highway, which a lot of my brothers in the beginning of our walk, early on, 7 years, 6, 7 years ago, you know, it was a lot of that. And that's a Christianese mindset. It's a Christianese mindset. I need to be led. But wait, I thought I'm supposed to be led by Yahushua. Why do I need to be led? Because if I'm not leading you, then you could be led astray. Well, who says so? See, this is what all of are talking about. All of them. Including the Third Testament. All of them began to talk about the individual self relationship to the Father by way of Yahushua. Because you can't go to the Father directly, you gotta go through Yahushua and his righteous spirit. But somehow this world, this matrix of Gentiles, has everyone to believe that someone has to teach them. As if the Father cannot download through your own actions and chase thereafter, download you information. You know, free will is a gift. Because if you cannot accept the gift and maintain it because people want it, people have destroyed people for their free will. People have utterly taken the breath of life away for free will. And I'm still doing it. Still doing it. And if we allow people anywhere, charlatan, priest, preacher, prophet, another Jesus, another Yahuwah, another Yahusha, if we allow them to oppress our free will, then that will be our demise. That's what this is all about. We will back. Well, let's give some examples. Currently, Africa is taking their free will back. And what they just taking, you know, they're taking a nation back. Well, what is that? They're taking their salvation back. Their philosophy. Their will. The colonizers. The Church of Muhammad. And those that bring that Church of Muhammad. That philosophy. That Khazarian Indo-European philosophy, Germanic European philosophy. We've gone deep into history. The Father has opened our eyes, given us understanding, not shown us everything, by no means. Yet, a common denominator is treating people the way you want to be treated. And in that concept, there's no oppression of free will. And I sit here today, tonight, and I see through observation, historically and currently, an oppression of free will. No. You ain't thinking right. I'm telling you how this is. You need to go to school and learn from this teacher so you can learn how to make money in this society, in Babylon's crumbling society. It's always my God to tell you what to do, what is or what is not. You can never entertain your own thought. You are bombarded with someone else's afterthoughts all the time through nostalgia, through marketing, through education, through politics, through religion, through science, and even through math, and all the other social sciences per se stated by the Greco-Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire, the philosophy therein. Allow that oppression of free will, well, that's your choice. That's your free will to be oppressed. And some people will say, well, no, that's you going off. You don't know. We've been here forever. I know this. I know all that. But none of it has entertained your philosophy. So dogmas and doctrines and tools, conversations. Those deal with the new microphone. I'm hoping it's coming out right. But it's true. Because this is all about freedom. When we try to take that, people get upset. They want to say again that you're going off. That going off is something that you aren't allowed to do because you have to understand they know more than you. That's oppression. I mean, that's what the Khazari, German, Indo-European has done. I mean, that's Inquisition. They say break the spirit. No, it's broken free will. Instead of saying break his spirit, just say, you know, your free will. Because how many times would they torture a Jew man and they didn't do it what they were accused of? And at the end, they just lied and said, I did it. How many times does that continue to happen today? That's a theft of free will. Free will comes with confidence, and pride hides under free will, because when you, especially in the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European philosophy or ideologies, it masquerades. Pride does, as we will. Because if I got more than you, or if I'm bigger than you, then I can take your free will just because. Because absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it don't matter what color you are. If you are oppressing someone else's free will, then this is the transitional period where justice will be meted out. That's what we're seeing. Justice being meted out. He said, and I said this before about the horsemen. Let me get that real quick. They're enormous, silly. These silly, foolish nation people. They're so whack. You know, it's funny because back in the day, I'd be like, oh, that's good on that. But now that I have been enlightened, I see their poor syntax, their ridiculous ideology, their nonsensical madness of interpretation, their narratives of negativity. Wait a minute. And it's like, how you know it's oppression. Because every time that you try to look up anything biblical, anything historical, anything ancient, when you go in their Google source and you try to put in any of that, it always comes up the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European. You rarely, if ever, rarely see a Negro. That's oppression to the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European, but it's certainly oppressive to the Negro. Mind you, the Negro is the only people who have gone through Jacob's trouble. No, the Hamites have not gone through because they have owned their land. So get out of here with that madness. Everything is in Africa. That's madness. The Igbo, okay. There's nothing to the fact that the Judeans who are all in Africa running in, hiding, mixing cultures. But the boatload, the truckload, the 10 tribes, 10, not the 3 to 2, the 2 to 3. Granted, Judah is a massive piece or cog in the wheel of the 12, but 10 is greater than. So get out of here with this all Africa madness. Again, that narrative given to you, given to us, by leaders who are leading people during the Piscean Age. From the philosophical and ideological perspective of the Khazari, Germanic, Indo-European. So, as we see the bigger picture, based on, or the macro, based on the new era that we are in, it's a double-edged sword. It cuts and it heals. It kills and it awakes. It gives life and takes death. These are the times that we're in, justice. So I digress. Bear with me one moment here. And this is what I'm saying. They have messed the algorithm up so that you can't really get the answer that you seek. You dig deep. And if you settle for the first or the second or the third or fourth or the fifth or the sixth or seventh or eighth, ninth, tenth bit of information, then you could be going on. You could be going on. All right, I'm going to do this way. Well. What I want to see is the four horsemen. I want to see the. I want to talk about the order. So, because this is something I want to talk about. So it says, this is Revelation 6:2. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. There's your Alexander the Great. Okay, so these are the horses of Jacob's trouble. Okay. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and speak. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, take free will from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. There's your powerful madness, your red dragon, your papacy, Rome, Christianity, Catholicism. So after that, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third say, come see and behold. And this is where this hold on, I think my sound. Oh wait, where'd it go? That is just except that I don't microphone talk 1 2. What is this? I don't know. Did I do this right? I don't know. Goodness gracious. Make sure. So and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. So this is the third horse. And then it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. So here's the deal. So the pale horse comes after the red horse, and the black horse comes at the end. And you might say, well, how are you getting that? What does that mean? What you got? So remember, the red horse was the sword. That was the papacy. After the papacy came into power, then he had the pale horse, which says, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, which we know is the Americas. And that death, that pale horse is who? Pale face, the pale man, who every Aboriginal Negro knew as pale, not hard. Pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, was it not? And hell followed with him, did it not? And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So when we go back up to the red horse, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So the sword was given to the guy in red, or to the Roman Empire. That's the sword, right? Because, I mean, they had already killed everybody. All the other Gentiles went through, Babylon, Persia, Medo-Persia, Greece. And you say Greece is Greece and Egypt. And you can put Medo-Persia, Egypt, then Greece, but all that's right there. And Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire. So Rome was given the sword. It conquered all the rest of its Gentile empires and took the sword. You could say it stole Excalibur. Okay, so it took the sword. And with that sword, it sent out a pale horse. And on his name was death. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And then it says, because we've switched this up, we're going to read it properly. And then he says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, because we're switching it up, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. So the third, the pale horse, which is the third beast, said, lo, come and see. I mean, not beast, horse, said, lo, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, see there? Because now, wait, we hadn't gotten to the fourth beast. When you read this, if you read this from the way they have it set up, the fourth beast, it says if I read it the way they want it to read, because now we just talked about the red, now we're talking about the third, okay? The red is the second. So, and when he had opened the third seal, okay, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. So they're saying the black horse is the third seal. But there has been no justice after the sword yet. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, what do you mean? There's not been a four, you were still in the third. So, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened and see, so boom. Okay. So he's telling the fourth beast not to hurt the oil and the wine, but measures of penny, three measures of barley for a penny. So that's scales and balances and justice. So we read it properly. The third beast, again, is the pale horse. There's your dumb diverses. There's your renaissance. There's your doctrines of discovery. There's your papal bulls. There's your Christianity. There's your Protestantism. There's your Catholicism. There's your Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European rule. But then the fourth beast, which is the black horse, and the black horse represents justice. So after they conquer through Alexander, they're given the sword through the papacy, the Red Bull, okay? Then they send out the pale horse, their pale-skinned people. And after they've done their killing and stealing and destroying, then here comes the fourth seal, which is the black horse that brings justice in the scales and the weights. And this is the time that we're in, because with this justice comes free will. And people seem to forget that. They seem to think that, you know, I can, that we need to continue in the Piscean age of things, where I just give you freely my free will because you've told me that somebody that you've told me that the Most High has spoken to you. I mean, that sounds awfully like Christianity to me. And I mean, during the Jacob's trouble, that needed to happen because that had to become. We had to maintain understanding through written words and oral words so that we can get through Jacob's trouble so that at the end we can get the new thing that's coming. That's why he said, this is, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just somebody who's willing to give observation. And give observation this way. I mean, there's bunches of us, but I'm just saying, very few bunches of us, though. So justice and free will go hand in hand. That's the awakening. The gift is free will. You think the gift is knowledge. You may even think the gift is wisdom. But the gift really is free will. And if someone takes it from you, or if you give it freely away, then you won't have it. And we've just come out of that. And my mind is open, and I'm saying to myself, listen, please do not try to oppress me. You do not like me when I am oppressed, because I then fight back. And people would then say, you know, but that's pride, this, that, and the third. Again, pride masquerades as free will. You have to be able to know if it's true free will. And how do you do that? You know that through being oppressed or not. You know, I talk about suppression. Let's just talk about it. Let's call it what it is, oppression. You know, and now that justice is here, we get a choice. We get a understanding to be able to see when people are oppressing us. And based on the way we handle that, will dictate whether or not we pass the test or not. Because everything, there will be people who know the 66 like the back of their hand. There will be people who will use that to make you seem small, therefore having to follow them because their awareness and knowledge is greater than yours. And because of that, you are no one. See, we just came from that. We just came up out of that. The Father said, wake up, wake up, wake up. Is there anybody in there? Just smile if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home? And some of us woke up and said, yeah, here I am. And he said, you know what? Here's your gift. Because in order to even be woke to follow him, you have to have free will. You have to. You know, the more I move in this, the more I live, the more I study, the more I meditate, the more I see, the more I'm starting to realize that the 66 is the book of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm realizing that there's so many books out there that, that give credence to the character and the way one acts and the way one coexists amongst his or her brethren and sisters. But that's the first piece of justice, because you can't go to someone, you know, that's why I like in the 66, you know, the story is, you know, for him who cast the first stone, you know, whatever, you know, take the beam out your own. You know, these are the things in the 66 that gives you understanding that there is a justice. So you can't be unjust trying to mete out justice. That's what the Khazari and Germanic Indo-European has done forever of its existence. And that's why we have to understand that our free will is the key. Our free will is how we get through things, get to what's next. I mean, you know, I just imagine Copeland, you know, T.D. Jakes, everybody got to get up and they got to pontificate and they got to talk about what they know. You know, what about what you know? I mean, you certainly should know the Ten Commandments. You certainly should know that you certainly should know when you are mistreating someone. You certainly should know when you are cheating someone, lying to someone, hurting someone. Why do I need to be led by a man or woman to these truths? Do I not have a free will to understand Do I not have a curious, innate understanding of something greater than myself? Why do I need some other person to tell me that there is something greater than myself? See, these are the questions that now get to come out because now we have our free will back. And it's tough. It's tough. I know it. I know it's tricky because at the end of the day, you want to be in it to win it, but you can't be fully because you can't be of it anymore. And, you know, people are going to be having visions. They're going to be having, you know, they're going to be saying they got the magic stick. You know, they got everything. They know it. Why? Because that's the times we're in. Because it's all in. It's like poker. It's all in time. Put your cards on the table. Stop lying. Question these people. But do it in a righteous way and do it righteously and be righteous doing it. Otherwise, you too will be judged. The black horse rides. The black horse rides. You know, we sit around and see things through other people's eyes, through nostalgia, you know, through marketing, you know, through all the ways that oppress you, and you don't even know it. You'll be given talking points on things that you didn't even know that you even knew to give talking points on because you've been oppressed through someone else's perspective within your own ideology where a bit of your free will was taken. And this is the part that gets tough. Because, you know, what is it? If you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. So at some point, you got to stand for your own free will. Well, wait, I don't know. I need to make sure that you know, what you're saying is true. No, you don't. You don't need to even entertain that. You can accept people's perception. You can accept people's understanding. But you have to apply it to your own because that's you and the Father's business. You and the Father's business. And I truly hope that the first part of this went through because I hope it does. I was having some microphone technical difficulties, but I believe I have it fixed, hopefully. I'll hear it back and know. But, you know, this is why things have become so... so stagnant within the nations. And we who are seeking have become very, very hardened because we're unwilling to give up our free will, yet we still are doing it to some degree because sometimes we have to, but it's coming to a head where we don't want to anymore. And the other nations are having a tough go at it because their whole concept of free will is now being taken to the canvas. Their whole purpose or concept of free will is, you know, one, there is no free will. Two, free will is my will or no will, right? My way or the highway. or I know more than you, so it's going to be by my will, or I got the gun and it's going to be by my will, or I got the money, it's going to be by my will. And it's coming into focus just how errorful it is, or that is, that concept, that conceptualization, that thought process is, how unfruitful it is. Because people catch attitudes, they get irate, they get indignant when they can't take your free will or oppress you with theirs. Ain't that America, home of the free? Ain't that America, blah, blah, blah. Ain't that the world that's not for you and me? This is why we're not supposed to pray for the world, but we're supposed to be part of the world to show them what free will looks like. That to me is a light, you know. Some people say, well, you know, that's in Babylon. You just dealing with Babylon. You ain't supposed to. My take on that is that's a 66 indoctrination of a time dispensation to get us to this point where at the end of the day, things will change. It will all be different. It's going to be contrary to the free will is contrary to the Piscean age. It's contrary. You didn't have free will during the Piscean age. After Yahushua was murdered, free will was taken. It's taken. It was a power grab. A power grab of free will. Now we're moving into a whole nother age, an exchange of situation. That exchange of situation could be physical, and it most certainly is spiritual. So if spiritualism comes back, or righteous comes back, or the tree of life comes back, and you have the ability to eat off of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, wouldn't that mean that you got free will? Isn't that the choice? Isn't that the choice? I mean, what is this? This is not rocket science. Rocket science ain't even rocket science. This is not close to it. Choice, free will. You got the free will to choose. Is that not what's now here in front of us? In the now, that's why you got the Gentiles trying their damnedest to keep themselves relevant, because they're not relevant if free will is back in. If I have free will, why would I entertain the Gentiles? Because I have a choice. I wouldn't. The only reason why they were entertained before is because we had no choice. Otherwise known, AKA, as we had no free will. That's why he told us you can't read, and if you read, you're going to get killed. That's why he said you can't write. If you write, you're going to die. You cannot express yourself. You cannot express your free will. That's why they coined freedom, as we know is free Edom, because a free Edom means a unfree Jacob. Ultimately, no free will for Jacob. And ultimately, the Father's grand in his design and his will. He made it so that as they took our free will at the end, they will also have no free will as we gain free will. Because the gift will be for those. Now, you know, some of them, very few, but some of them will have it. Who am I? And that's the thing. You know, I don't know who's in the will of the Father. There's 9 billion people on this planet, so they say. But I don't know who's, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I'm not the Father. I'm just saying that free will was taken over this entire earth by a particular certain group of people, Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European. That's the they. So when people go, well, who is this they? The Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European. And they go, what? He said Indo-European. That's right. But don't sleep. Don't forget about the Khazari and the German and the Germanic. Indo-European. That's why this is where we are. This is the Aquarius age. We have, the Father is brought us full circle. And, you know, free will is where it's going to boil down to. And that's the hardest thing to fight for. But it's the one thing that you have to. That's all you got. It's all we got. And at the end of the day, you know, if you know, if you give up your free will, and when it's time to, you know, be in to come in front of the Most High, and you ain't got no excuses because you gave up your free will. If you got your free will and you use it righteously and you willed it righteously, then you have a testimony of doing the righteous thing for the Father. And, you know, some people say, well, he never knew you. Well, he never knew you either, because all you're doing is bringing a Piscean authorityship, a Piscean dictatorship to the Aquarius age. It's just not going to work. Now, you're going to have some people that are still in the Piscean age because they haven't transitioned, but some of us have transitioned, or are rather transitioning. And, you know, it's difficult because as you transition, you want to be able to be righteous, but you got all these people who still want to take your free will and give theirs away. So I say, brothers and sisters, friends and foes, do what you know is the right thing to do, and that is to keep hold of your free will. That's all you got. All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To the Elohim, Abraham, Isaac, Isaac, Yaakov. To the Most High, Yahuwah, Yahshua, the Holy Ruach. All praises, Shalom.